Hi, everybody, and it's good to see you. And of course, we're here to look at consciousness and the absolute. And tonight we're looking at January 17th, 1981. And it's a little chilly here tonight. You'd think it's chilly, you know, in Colorado, up in the mountains every night, but it really isn't. And you can feel the difference on nights when it's getting cold. So yeah, I'm all wrapped up in my blanket, and I can feel my nose. It's cold. Tonight's a chilly night, so I look forward to getting in bed with my electric blanket tonight. That will be really nice. But let's see what's going on here. So the questioner says, in consciousness, is there doership and also witnessing? And Maharaj says something very interesting. He says, everything is in the realm of consciousness. You know, those of you who know my teachings really well, you know that I have this teaching I call the Four Principles of God. And the fourth principle of God is manifestation. But of course, manifestation is nothing but consciousness. But the interesting thing about that fourth principle of God is everything that has ever been experienced is there. You know, it's the stuff that we call everyday stuff, you know, like the fact that I'm a little chilly and I'm covering up with a blanket and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it's also the, you know, like ghosts and heavenly experiences and, you know, just everything you can imagine is in that fourth principle of God. And it's all created from consciousness. So this person is asking, is there doership and also witnessing? You know, most people would put doership in the fourth principle of God. And they would put witnessing as the second principle of God, which is more commonly referred to as consciousness. He says, in consciousness, is there doership and also witnessing? Well, actually, you know, I call it the four principles of God. That's my symbol. But actually, the second principle of God, the third principle of God, and the fourth principle of God are all made up of consciousness. Right? The second principle of God is what we might call pure consciousness. The third principle of God is the creative principle, but that comes out of consciousness's witnessing attention, what gets created, where that alive attention goes. And then the manifestation is the, you know, the effect. It's all consciousness. In consciousness, is there doership and also witnessing? Well, Maharaj answers, everything is in the realm of consciousness. I mean, just everything. He says, are all the actions in the world being done through consciousness? The movement of the five elements also. And of course, Nisargadatta says the sum total of the five elements is consciousness. You know, he just said everything is consciousness. Right? Everything is consciousness. Everything you can think of. Everything you can think of is in consciousness. You can't think of the absolute. So everything you can think of is in consciousness. The questioner says, it's beautiful to praise this consciousness by consciousness. No? And Nisargadatta says, oh yes. Whatever you are, only you know. In the body is only the knowledge, no person. For practical purposes, you use various names. I'll be honest, I don't understand that at all. Megan or Ron, if you guys have insight into what he's talking about, let me know. Sometimes the Nisargadatta's way of reasoning is so different from my way of reasoning or my way of answering. I'm like, what? I'll tell you, when the guy said, it's beautiful to praise this consciousness by consciousness, no. I'll tell you what came to me, which has nothing to do with the Nisargadatta saying, and we'll look at it again. But what came to me is, you know, my meditation time in the morning. I tend to call the type of meditation I use, it really is awareness, watching awareness. But I tend to call it loving consciousness. And the reason is because I sit down and I close my eyes and I focus on consciousness as purely as I am able to. You know, if I start to drift, I bring myself back. You know, my goal is not one moment lost in thought or not one moment lost in mind images. So as soon as I notice the drifting occur, you know, I bring myself back. But I do that with love, so much love. You know, there are a couple of different images that really assist me. One is, you know, like I love my daughter's face. And when my daughter is with me, I can just stare at her face. I don't care whether she's laughing, whether she's crying, whether she's bored. And in fact, there have been times she's been upset and crying and I start laughing. And then she gets mad at me, but I'm laughing because I think she's so cute when she's crying. I think she's so cute no matter what she does. So what I will do sometimes is I will contemplate that love I have for my daughter's face. And then I bring that to focusing on consciousness. You know, I stare at that with that same fascination, that same love. When I say stare at that, it's kind of funny words. Oh yeah, there we go, staring at our children's faces, yeah. When I say stare at that, it's kind of funny because it's a non-that, you know, but, and another image, this image just came to me for the first time today, but I love it, love it, love it. I know a man who was telling me how when he was 17 years old, how he would seduce women. And he seduced women older than him. He liked, you know, women like in their young 20s. And he hung out at the beach. And when he would meet a woman that he liked, he said that he would just sit and listen to them. And he would sit listening to them while they talked and talked and talked, knowing that they were going to want to have sex with him. And he would just sit listening, knowing that this was going to happen. He said he never made a move. He just sat listening, knowing that this was going to happen. And that eventually the women always made the move and he had sex. And he said he had sex with somebody different nearly every day. But the way this image came today was, you know, look at consciousness with that patient inner smile, knowing that consciousness is going to come and I'm going to absorb into it. You know, I just look at it. I just pay attention to it. I just be with it, knowing that it's going to come to me. Right? Just like the woman came to him. So when I read this, this is where my mind immediately went. It's beautiful to praise this consciousness by consciousness. No. You know, I mean, that's immediately where I went, that loving meditation that I do, where I, you know, with consciousness, love consciousness. And so when Nisargadatta says this, I'm like, whoo, boy, that's a different, completely different place than I went. Nisargadatta says, oh yes, I got the oh yes, oh yes. And then he says, whatever you are, only you know. Now that I think I might get too. You know, when I'm in that meditation, loving that consciousness, I'm loving me. I'm loving what I am. You know, not the thoughts, not the body. You know, I'm going in and getting to know that most intimate me, consciousness itself. And I'm falling in love with that. So whatever you are, only you know. But then maybe he's on a different wavelength than me, because then he says, in the body is only the knowledge, no person. in the body is only the knowledge, no person. Unless that's his way of saying you have to turn within. I'm not sure what that sentence means. In the body is only the knowledge, no person. Or maybe he's saying there isn't really a person here, right? You know, when you turn within, there isn't really a person here. And by going within, you find that consciousness, which isn't a person. But then he says, for practical purposes, you use various names. And that's when I say, I'm not sure what he's talking about here. For practical purpose, you use various names. Maybe he's saying, even though I know myself as consciousness, I go by mom, I go by Regina, I go by girlfriend, for practical purposes. But I know myself as that consciousness. You know, maybe this is what Nisargadatta is saying. It's beautiful to praise this consciousness by consciousness. No? And Nisargadatta says, oh yes. Whatever you are, only you know. And the body is only the knowledge. Maybe that's the knowledge that I know when I go within. No person. For practical purposes, you use various names, even though you know yourself as consciousness. The questioner says, in the body, why is this consciousness saying I, you, etc.? Nisargadatta says, consciousness is one, but it manifests into many. So for practical purposes, you say I, you, etc. And you know, another one of the things that I love to contemplate, I love to contemplate that behind the mask of the mind, behind the mask of, you know, my stories and your stories and my opinions and my values and your values and my dreams and your dreams, if we just peel that off, then what's left is exactly the same. I love to contemplate that. If we could just peel all of that off, what's left is exactly the same. There, and it's really not even the same. It's the same one. You know, Ramana Maharshi used this example once in temples in India. They have some temples that have just like these long, long troughs. But then on top of the trough, my arm is the trough. On top of the trough, there's a bunch of lamps. And what they do is they pour lamp oil in the trough, right? And it goes down the trough. And then they light the lamp oil from one end. But then that trough, the fuel in the trough, lights all of these different lamps. So all the lamps around the temple are getting lit, you know, by this one trough. So it looks like many different lamps, right? But the fuel is all one fuel. So it's not just that we're the same and that we're like each other, you know, if you peel off all those apparent differences. It's that we're the same and that we're the same one. Like your consciousness, my consciousness, exact same consciousness. I mean, Matt, just think about that. I love to contemplate that. You know, you and I can write a book about how we're different at the level of mind. We couldn't write a sentence about how we're different at the level of consciousness. So consciousness is one, but it manifests into many. So for practical purposes, you say I, you, etc. You know, we do seem to have this experience of living in a world, and to deny it is foolish. I mean, you know, there's a book that, I think the name of the book, it's a children's book. It's called Everybody Poops. Isn't that the name of the book? Have you guys seen that? Everybody Poops. I think it's for like potty training or something. But you know, the reason I bring that up is because when you have to go to the bathroom, you get up and go to the bathroom, right? When you have to eat, you eat, right? We can't deny this experience of the world. You know, this is the experience that we're having. And so even as we contemplate the one consciousness and we close our eyes and we love the one consciousness and we know ourselves as the one consciousness, we still have to stand up and walk and work in this world and talk to people in this world. And so at the same time, you know, we use names. You know, Dawn. Hey, Dawn. She answers, not Meg, because I said, hey, Dawn, right? So that's just the way it is. This is where the line, you know, living, being in the world but not of the world comes from, right? So consciousness is one, but it manifests into many. So for practical purposes, you say I, you, etc. I mean, if we all called ourselves I, hey, I, everybody go, yeah, you know. Sometimes in a meeting, Jacqueline will be, you know, she's looking, she might be looking at Dawn or me or Cheryl, but to us, she's just looking at the camera and she'll say, well, you do this, 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 this. And I'm like, who's she talking to? And I say, who are you talking to? I don't know if she's asking me to do it, if she's asking Cheryl to do it, if she's asking Dawn to do it. You know, so it's practical to say, hey, Regina, will you go do blah, blah, blah? Or hey, Cheryl, will you go do blah, blah, blah? Right? It's just practical. Consciousness is one, but it manifests into many. So for practical purposes, you say I, you, etc. The questioner says, my consciousness is due to this body, sustained by this body. Not other bodies. And this is where the mind always goes. You know, if we're all one consciousness, then how come I only know the experience of Regina's poop? Right? You know, this is the me that goes to the bathroom in there and closes the door. I don't go, you know, to George's bathroom or Meg's bathroom. They do that, right? And the mind always wants to go back to that that proof that I am this. And this, in my humble opinion, is one reason why we have to always go back to meditation. I don't know about your experience, but my experience, meditation is the strongest, most potent knowing, looking, realizing of myself as that which witnesses the mind, right? As that which is not dependent on the mind at all. You know, the mind can fall away and I still am. So since in the world, there's this appearance of many bodies, and we call each other by name, and we all go to the bathroom by ourselves, and that seems to reinforce the idea of separation. I think what we need, you know, Ram was talking about habits. Well, the habit of seeing separation is a great habit. So if we want to change that habit to the habit of seeing one consciousness, then we need to put some time into meditation. Because that's where we get that opportunity to really see and experience that in a direct way. So again, my consciousness is due to this body, sustained by this body, not other bodies. And Nisargadatta says, in your consciousness, all the bodies are there. And this is true. Everything is in consciousness. If you just, you know, I love, as you guys know, I love to play consciousness games. And another game that I love to play is just to be really still with myself, focusing on consciousness with my eyes open when I play this game. That I be still, I might just stare kind of straight ahead. I'm not looking at anything in particular, but I focus on consciousness. And then I start noticing, usually first, because my head has a lot of sensations about it. I don't know if everybody's head does. There's lots going on up here, you know. So the first thing I do is I notice that my entire head is within consciousness. You know, I just sit and stare and notice my entire head is within consciousness. And then I might let that expand a little bit. I start noticing my neck, my shoulders within consciousness. And I slowly, continually expand until I can really notice that my entire body is in consciousness. I'm not in the body. The body is in me, consciousness. I can feel the edges of it, right, in awareness. And then I expand that out even further, and I start to notice that this chair is in consciousness. And then this lamp is in consciousness. And I just continually expand it, and there becomes this very real awareness that I'm not in the world. Everything in the world is in me, not this body, but me, consciousness, right? And that's a clear seeing that I am not this body, that my consciousness doesn't come from this body. This body somehow moves and breathes in me. So Nisargadatta says, in your consciousness, all the bodies are there. The questioner says, Maharaj said that I am not in the body, that the body is in me. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that statement. Nisargadatta says, if you are an author, I love this example. If you are an author, a number of books are potentially in your pen. If you are an author, a number of books are potentially in your pen. You know, consciousness is an author. And there is so much potentially in our pen. You know, like I said earlier, the only part of my four principles of God that are not consciousness is the absolute. The second principle of God, which is pure consciousness, the third principle of God, which is the creative principle, and the fourth principle of God, everything in manifestation, that is actually all consciousness. And what we give our passionate believing attention to gets authored out of our pen. And anything can, just like everything is in consciousness, anything can happen in consciousness. And it's amazing to contemplate that as well. To contemplate the power that lies in our glance. And in fact, I've used that in meditation too, because as you guys know, you know, this house that I'm sitting here at right now. And in fact, Meg, when you were here, we had made an offer on the retreat house, but we hadn't yet purchased it when you were here, right? I mean, we were in the process. Well, before that, go back a few months before that, we didn't have a retreat house. There was nothing. When I came to La Vida, I had to go to the bathroom at the gas station. I didn't even have a place to go to the bathroom. And I would, you know, come here, it seems like at least once a week, and I would walk around La Vida, loving La Vida, you know, envisioning us having a place in La Vida. And I confess, envisioning me having a place in La Vida, my own place. I spent lots and lots of time looking at pictures. I had pictures all over my office that I looked at. I had on the internet, I would look at pictures, real estate pictures. I did lots of envisioning of a retreat house and my own house in La Vida. Well, we actually closed on the condo. Now I've upgraded to a house, but the condo that my mom first had and the retreat house closed in the same week, October 1st and October 5th of 2018. And boom, they were there. And now I've been upgraded to this very nice house here. And so during meditation, I think about how I stared at pictures and I stared at La Vida while walking around with love, and all those dreams came true. And then I say, what if I just stare at consciousness? Like I stared at pictures of La Vida. What if all I want is awakening now? And so I just stare at this nothingness of consciousness. I mean, I stared at pictures of La Vida and look what happened. Heck, even Shauna's here and Jay's here and Jacqueline's here. I mean, my God, there's so much potency in that staring that I did. What if I just stare at consciousness with that same passionate potency? You know, there's a line in a song that I fell in love with as a teenager. The song is called The Legend of Crazy Horse by J.D. Blackfoot. And in the song, what happens is Crazy Horse awakens. But the way they word it in the song is they say he had the power to dream himself into the real world. He had the power to dream himself. I mean, I dreamt myself into La Vida. That staring, that focus, the desire and focus. So what if I just take that same power and turn it to consciousness? If you are an author, a number of books are potentially in your pen, including Awakening. And then he says, since when did you realize that you are? So he's turning the person back to start focusing on his own I am-ness, because the person's very focused on the body. And the person says, when the body and consciousness appeared. Now, to me, that's a funny answer, because I don't know about you, but I don't remember the day that this body appeared. My mom does, but I don't. So if you were to ask me, when did you first notice that, you know, you are, I couldn't say, oh, the day I was born. I mean, maybe that's true, but that wouldn't be my earliest memory. I'll briefly tell you my earliest memory, and then I have to stop because we're out of time. Believe it or not, I was 17, almost 18 years old. And I lived in this apartment where everybody partied all the time. And I went to bed one night and the party went on. And I got up the next morning and the house was a mess. They had just, you know, just partied it to death. And at that moment, I realized somehow, I don't know how, I can't even explain it, but I realized I didn't have these words then, but I realized that the life awareness that I am, everyone is. I know it doesn't make any sense that I got up and saw a messy house and it just struck me, but it struck me that I am and that they are. I guess because as a little kid, we all went to bed at the same time, and you get up in the morning and the house looks like it did when you went to bed, right? I don't know. And somehow this getting up in the morning and the house being different, there was just this realization of the I am-ness of everyone. But in that realization of the I am-ness of everyone was the realization of the I am-ness in me. I didn't finish this message, so I'll have to continue with it next week. But we're about halfway through, so that's good. That means, you know, next week we can probably do the second half. So again, thanks for hanging out with me. It was fun. And go love some consciousness in the morning. Bye.